Praise the Lord, and appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach the Word of God. I enjoy that, and certainly don't take it lightly, and I know that Pastor obviously values the opportunity to preach, and what a great blessing that has been seen through the years, and so I do appreciate him allowing me to preach and to go through a series. So I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of James this evening, the book of James, and as I began to pray about this, I knew that the Lord would have us to start studying a book on Sunday evenings, and so the Lord directed my thoughts to this book, and I believe this is where we'll be, as long as the Lord gives liberty here in the book of James, just kind of going through it verse by verse. And James is an incredible book. There's a lot of practical truths of just simple, practical Christianity that we can use. And of course, it's a letter written by James, and so there's certainly so much application. And so we're going to be in verses 1 through 4 this evening, so I invite you to stand this evening, if you're able to, and we're going to read James 1, verses 1 down through verse 4, and get into the truth that we see here in God's Word. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if I had to give a title to this series, it would be this: The Marks of Spiritual Maturity. As James is writing this letter, he's dealing with people in various stages of spiritual maturity. And yet, there's some practical truths, and some of the problems that he deals with in the book of James, they would be boiled down to just a simple lack of spiritual maturity. So we want to look at the book of James, the marks of spiritual maturity, and the first message tonight: the mature Christian is patient in testing. Patient in testing. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, we do come before you tonight. We're thankful for your goodness to us. Lord, we're thankful for the day that we've had here. What a great blessing it was to be here this morning and to honor the veterans, Lord. We were just so blessed to have so many in our presence, Lord, and to see the presentation of the video and the song and just the blessing to be able to honor those men and women. And Lord, as we take the time to remember those that have sacrificed for us, Lord, may we be eternally grateful. And then, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather again in this place tonight and to hear the encouraging music and to participate in that, and then to open up your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me now, Lord, to guide my tongue, to guide my mind, to give me, Lord, the ability to speak this message that you've given to me, Lord. And I pray for each and every person that is listening tonight, Lord, that you would apply it to their hearts and that you'd work in and through this message. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. The book of James, obviously, is written by James. He is the author. He mentions there in verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, as you read the New Testament, there are a couple men by the name of James in the New Testament. However, it's widely believed, I believe this is the case, that this is written by James, the half-brother of Jesus. And certainly, during Jesus' earthly ministry, there was a time in which he did not look to Jesus as the Messiah. And yet when he saw what Jesus had done, his mind was changed and he was fully convinced. And by the time you get the writing of the book of James, he knows that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. What a great blessing that is. And so he writes as James, the half-brother of Jesus. He says there, I love this introduction. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He identifies himself as a servant. Listen, James just doesn't come to them saying, well, I'm the brother of Jesus, and therefore I have a platform with which to speak. No, he identifies himself very quickly with the reader. What a great blessing to understand that God would use his servants to write his word to us. That an incredible example of just that humility, and simply James comes to us as a servant. He says, I'm not only a servant of God, but I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And I just love that thought there, just practical Christianity. The audience that he writes to is to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. These are the children of Israel, those that had one time lived in Jerusalem, those that had lived in the promised land, and yet you'd study the book of Acts and you see as the gospel is propagated, God does that through allowing persecution to come into the church. They were there in Jerusalem, the persecution came amongst the church, it began to drive them out, And when they went out, they took the gospel with them. By the time you get to the writing of the book of James and several of the other epistles, now the gospel has reached many of the different areas of the world. And what a great blessing. And in that, we can learn a great blessing as well, that God works through difficulty to share the gospel with others. And we see that there in the scriptures. And so this audience, they're no longer at home. They're strangers living in a foreign land. And yet I thought about this, what a parallel to us. Strangers and pilgrims living in a foreign land. You know, the truth is tonight, Christians, the closer we get to Christ, the less at home we'll feel here in this world. The world is moving away from God. There was once a time in which possibly the world was closer to God than it is today. The world is moving away from God. We look in the society in which we live today and we begin to scratch our heads as Christians. Sometimes we say, I wonder how the world got to where it is today. And yet we understand the world will constantly move away from God, but the Christian will move towards God. A Christian that's growing in their spiritual maturity as the world is moving away, we're moving closer to God. And I want to tell you this evening, listen, a Christian should not feel comfortable in the world in which we live. And that's exactly what we see here. He writes to these Christians who are scattered abroad, and there's some difficulty that they're going through. But I love this because their hope is our hope. Turn to chapter 5 if you want. I want you to see a verse that James would write to them in chapter 5 and verse 8. He would say there in verse 8 of chapter 5, be ye also patient, and establish your hearts. Know what you believe. You know, as we live here in the world in which we live today, it is important that you know what you believe. It's important that we know the Word of God, that as it's been presented to us, that we can be patiently enduring through this life that we're given to. He says, be ye also patient, establish your hearts. And here's the hope, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. As these Christians are living amongst difficulty, and James is presenting this idea of difficulty and trials and problems, can I tell you that we must remain focused on the fact that in the twinkling of an eye, we could be at home in heaven. It makes it a whole lot easier to go through some of the difficulties in this life, realizing this world is not my home. Praise God for it. We are strangers and pilgrims passing through. Listen, this is as bad as it'll ever get. But praise the Lord for the hope and the promise of heaven. What a great blessing to know that we could stand before God tonight. To be eternally at home with God in heaven. And so they had a hope that while they went through difficulties, that God was doing a work in and through them. And yet what you'd find, and we'll study this over the next several weeks as we go through this, like us, these Christians weren't without problems. They're all in various levels of spiritual maturity. They're growing in their faith, as James writes to them. There may be some baby Christians. There may be some that are maturing in their faith. They're growing, and yet each and every one of them, none of them has arrived. And I'm reminded again tonight, as we live the Christian life, there is never a point in which we should stop growing. Whether we've been saved for just a few weeks or whether we've been saved for years, we ought to constantly be advancing forward and growing in our faith. And so we see here the theme or the focus of this passage is this: faith produces spiritual maturity. Faith produces spiritual maturity. You know, our faith is tested in the difficulties of life. As we go through trials and as we go through difficulties, our faith is tested in those things. And I love this thought. The person who endures the trials of life with their faith intact grows in their spiritual maturity. As you go through difficulties, as you endure those difficulties with your eyes on the Lord teaches you something through those difficulties. Your faith grows as a result of that. In fact, look at verse 12 of chapter 1. James would write in verse 12, he'd say this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Blessed is the man that endures the testings and the trials that you go through in this life. Enduring them with their eyes on the Lord, with their faith intact. The Bible says, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Did you catch that tonight? As you go through difficulties in this life, as you endure those difficulties and endure them the way the Lord would have you to do, there are eternal rewards for you. There's a crown of life, the Bible says, just for simply going through the problems of this life and enduring them with our eyes on Jesus. There are eternal rewards. Sometimes we wonder, when I get to heaven, am I going to have rewards? Am I going to have crowns to cast at Jesus' feet? And yet the Bible says one of the crowns we can receive is that for which we are just faithful in those times of testing in this life. Just going through those times with our eyes on the Lord. And what a great blessing that is. So tonight's message, the mature Christian is patient in testing. I want you to see three thoughts from this passage, three quick things. These things are, we're going to see tonight. First of all, testing is common. Testing is common. Secondly, testing is beneficial. And then thirdly, testing is cause for joy. Testing is cause for joy. So let's look at that this evening very quickly. Number one, testing is common. Testing is common. James would write this letter. He would write this letter, and there's a generality of the nature of this letter. He writes it to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad greeting, and then he writes it, he uses this plural phrase, my brethren, my brethren. Listen, each of these churches as they received this letter, each of these Christians as they received this letter were reminded immediately, I'm not the only one dealing with difficulty. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can get a complex. No one has it as bad as I have it. No one's dealing with what I'm dealing with. Sometimes we might even have this complex, I'm not even sure God likes me. I deal with problems, it just seems like one problem after another. Can I remind you tonight that everybody deals with problems? I've never met anybody, as you begin to talk to them, whether saved or unsaved, that would say, I've never had one issue in this life. I've never had a heartache. I've never had a problem. I've never had a trial. Listen, that type of life simply doesn't exist. And yet I want you to understand, as Christians, we have to keep some perspective in the midst of our trials. We have to keep a perspective of this fact that everybody suffers. Suffering is a part of this life. But we also have to keep a perspective of this. Suffering isn't permanent. Our suffering is seasonal. We go through seasons of suffering. In fact, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, just a few pages over. Peter would write this epistle, and he would write them to many of the people living under the same issues. They've been scattered abroad, and he would say this in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. You know, we have to keep a perspective in the midst of our trial that I am just dealing with a season of trials. Listen, sometimes if we're not careful, we can begin to get this idea that this is just the new normal. I'm just going to continue to suffer. Can I remind you, the Bible says God's mercies are new every day. Listen, many times those that are in the midst of the trial, they see no way out of that trial until they're on the other side of that. Then they look back and they say, oh yeah, God help me through this trial. Listen, sometimes we have to keep that perspective of the fact that it's just for a season, and the scriptures remind us that the sun will rise again, that we will overcome with the help of God in the midst of a trial. So we see there's a general nature to this letter, but we also see the certainty of trials. He says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. He doesn't say if. Well, you may be going through this life, and there may be a possibility of testing. There may be a possibility of trials. No, he says, when you fall into diverse temptations. We will go through difficulty in this life. We must be prepared that this life includes various types of adversity. That word diverse, it just simply means various temptations. It has the idea of adversity. Therefore, as we go through this life, there are going to be various troubles that we'll deal with. How many of you realize that your trials aren't always the same shape, size, time, length, all of those things. They may not even be from the same source, and yet we go through these various types of adversity, and we must be prepared. And listen, James' letter would exhort these Christians that were struggling, because they are struggling. And this is the thought: don't grow weary in your faith because you are suffering. Don't grow weary because God is at work in your life. And we're going to look at that. Listen, trials many times mean that God is doing something through us. And listen, the devil would have us to grow weary in testing, and God would have us to know that he is working something through us in the midst of that difficulty. And maybe some are struggling tonight. Maybe you're here, and maybe you're in an incredible season of testing right now. Listen, sometimes we wonder, what am I doing wrong? And by the way, listen, I believe all of us understand this. There are times in which we go through trials that are brought about by our own sin. But I think as Christians, God reveals that to us. And God helps us to understand if this trial has been brought about by my own sin. And if that's the case, listen, we confess that sin and we forsake that sin. We ask God for forgiveness and we move back towards him, and God gives restoration. But listen, sometimes just because we are living in a sin-cursed world, we will suffer. Can I tell you, there are preachers, they'll preach a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. They'll say, if you have enough faith, you'll never have problems in this life. If you give enough money, usually to me, to help fund my Learjet, if you give enough money, if you have enough faith to do what you're supposed to do, you'll never have any problems. Can I tell you, that message is anti-God and it's anti-Bible. In fact, Jesus would say this in John chapter 16. I want you to see this. John in chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 33, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Isn't it wonderful that we know the Prince of Peace tonight? That in Christ we can have peace regardless of what we go through. He says, "That in me ye might have peace." Now look at this. "In the world ye shall have tribulation." As you live in the world, there's going to be times of testing. There's going to be times of difficulty. But be of good cheer. He says this, "I have overcome the world." He says, "I've already won the victory." You're going to suffer some in this life. You're going to go through tribulations. You're going to go through some difficulties. But you can be of good cheer because through me, you're already victorious. And having that perspective as you go through difficulty will change your entire thought process. Devil, you need to go away because I've already received victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. This trial is not going to steal my joy. This difficulty is not going to steal my joy because victory is found in him. So we see, first of all, tonight that testing is common. Back in James in chapter 1, I want you to turn back there. I want you to see, secondly, tonight, not only is testing common, but testing is beneficial. It's for our benefit. The Bible says there in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." And then watch verse 3. "Knowing this," having a knowledge of some things, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." One of the things I love about the Word of God, that it gives us exactly what we would have need to know of as we live this Christian life. He says, you're going to have some knowledge of some things. He says, you have to know this. He says, first of all, know this, that your faith will be tested. He says there in verse 3, the trying of your faith. There is a trying of our faith as we live the Christian life. Listen, it's rightly been said that a faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. And God allows certain things to come along in our lives to test our faith. I think about a sports team. Oftentimes I'll think in analogies that relate to sports. You watch a team that gets out to an early season success, and maybe they experience a few victories in the beginning of the season. Oftentimes you'll hear a commentator say, "Well, they've had a good start, but you know their defense really hasn't been tested yet. The quarterback hasn't really been put into a position in which he's been tested so far. They've played pretty easy teams, but there's coming a testing of that defense. There's coming a testing of that offense, of that team." You know, a team that gets to the Super Bowl or any type of other championship game, along the way, there are times in which that team has been tested. They go late in the game, maybe in overtime. And during the regular season, they have to dig deep and they have to resolve and they have to step up. Someone has to step up and make a play so that when they're in a Super Bowl, by the way, I'm a Browns fan, I never know what that would feel like. Maybe one of these days, we'll see. But listen, when they get to the championship game, listen, they're going to face some adversity there. In the back of their mind, they need to remember there was a time in this season in which we faced a test like this. There was a time in which we were tested. Can I tell you, as we live the Christian life and as we're going through this life, the Lord will allow tests of our faith to come. And through the testing of our faith, it grows our faith. When we go and we look to Him in that faith, Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10, let me read it for you very quickly if you want to write it down and look it up later. God is speaking to the children of Israel. And He says in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver." He says, "I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Listen, if God is going to use you to do something for Him, there has to be a resolve that our faith is real and that it's genuine. And God will use testings of our faith to come in our lives. And so James says this, know this, first of all, that your faith will be tested. And then know this, that trials are for the good of the believer and not for your detriment. Trials are for the good of the believer, not for your detriment. He says there in verse 3, know this, that the trying of your faith, it worketh patience. It's for your good. As you go through difficulty, it's for your good. There's the trying of your faith and it worketh patience. That word patience has this idea, a cheerful endurance. Have you ever been around someone who seems like they have all kinds of problems, but they still have the joy of the Lord on their life? They still walk around with that joy, that cheerful endurance, and you say, how are they doing that? Because they're looking to God in faith. Right, listen, that ought to be the goal for each and every one of us as Christians. Knowing what God has presented to us, that our faith will be tested, and that trial is for the good of the believer and not for your detriment. Can I say this tonight? God does not allow our faith to be tried so that it might destroy us, but that it might strengthen us. That you would be strengthened through the difficulties that you go through. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Again, just a page over. And I love some of the parallels that you would find in the book of James and that you would find in the book of 1 Peter. The Bible says in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, our faith, there's a precious nature to that. There's a trying of our faith. It's much more precious than gold that perisheth. Watch this, though. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It says, as we go through these times of testing, listen, you have to know that your time of difficulty will produce a genuine faith, a faith that is approved by God. He says, just like a prospector would take gold and he would have it tested and he would have it tested by fire to see if it stands up. Can I tell you the same thing happens as we live the Christian life? There are tests of our faith and many times we're tested and it feels like we're being tested by the fires of this life. And the outcome, if we're faithful to God in that, there's almost as though He stamps a genuine faith upon us. Listen, by the way, that's not really for anybody else. It's for my knowledge. I need to know that I have genuine faith. Listen, sometimes someone will claim to get saved. And by the way, I would just say this. If someone makes a public profession of faith, praise the Lord for it. And we as Christians ought to do everything we can to come around aside them and to help to mentor them and help to disciple them and help them to grow in their faith. But there are times that someone will make a profession of their faith and the first type of adversity that they encounter, you never see them again. And yet I think about this, for the Christian who does their best to remain faithful. Listen, they may have to drag themselves into church. They may have to ask for prayer And they may need some tender, loving care by God's people, some people to come around them and to come beside them. And listen, all of us are in that position from time to time as we go through this life, and we feel like we're just doing what we can just to be around God's people. Can I tell you, though, there's something that is happening in the midst of that? And you may not even realize it in the moment, but God is building your faith moment by moment. And there is a time that you'll come out on the other side of that. And I want to tell you, you will be stronger for it. And when you endure after passing through that fire, it's as though God takes a stamp and He marks genuine on the faith of your life. And as you go through this life, you can look back and you can remember, I remember when I was there. I remember when I was in this difficulty and God brought me through that. And if He did it before, He can do it again. It's a genuine faith that is developed in the fires and the trials of this life. Testing is common. Testing is beneficial. We have to know that our faith will be tested. We have to know that the trials are for the good of the believer, not for your detriment. And we have to know that our testing will mature us. He says there in verse 4, but let patience, that cheerful endurance, let it have patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know what that's a definition of? That's a definition of a mature Christian. Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. A Christian in which God has been doing a work in their life. God has been trying them through the fires of this life and allowing them to emerge victorious. I think about those in my life. Probably you can think, every one of us can probably think of giants of the faith in our life that God has placed in our lives. You think about people that just had a resolve to serve the Lord no matter what. They didn't waver in their faith. And I can think in my life of several that God has placed in my life. Some are in eternity today. Some are still here on this earth. And you look at them and you say, I just never see a wavering in their faith. Can I tell you, they don't get to that point just by simply going through an easy road and an easy life. The trials of this life begin to forge something. And as they stay faithful to God, as they look to Him, and that doesn't mean they're going to have an easy path, and yet as they look to God, God does something in their life. God builds that faith, and God grows that faith, and that faith is forged when we endure rather than reject the trial. He says there in verse 12 again, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Just simply endures the testings and the trials of this life, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Listen, we have to know tonight that our testing, that as we go through that, it'll mature us. Here's a good question for all of us, though. What do you run to when you go through difficulty? What do you run to? Listen, when the world goes through difficulty, they'll run to substance. They'll run to possessions, things, relationships. And yet, the devil desires that when you go through a difficulty that you run from God. While God desires, listen, I'm sending this test in your life. Or you're going through a difficulty. Sometimes, listen, they're not always sent by God. Sometimes it's just the natural trials of this life. And God says, I'm allowing you to go through this, not that you would run from me, but that you would draw to me, that you would run to me, that you would come towards me. Listen, I want you to understand tonight, as you go through difficulty, can I tell you, you can't get enough church? As you go through the trials of this life, you can't get enough of the biblical preaching of God's word. You can't get enough of the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. You can't get enough of the hymns that point our eyes to Him. We can't get enough of that, and yet the devil sometimes will say to us, listen, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be around those people, and yet that's exactly what we have need of. So we're going through a difficulty. We draw close to God. The devil says, don't read your Bible. Don't do this. Don't draw close to God, and yet that's exactly what we have need of. So we see tonight, testing is common. Testing is beneficial, and finally, number 3, testing is cause for joy. He says there in James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now you begin to look at the context of this passage. Here are these men and women that have received this letter from James. They're excited. There's some communication from James. We remember James. Boy, what a great man of the faith that he is. We remember that, and they begin to open it, and they begin to read it, and it's almost the first thing that James is telling them is this: rejoice your suffering. Imagine how maybe they're looking at this, and they're wondering, what's he talking about here? Maybe he doesn't understand what we're dealing with, and yet I love this, because when we are suffering, it is a cause for rejoicing for a couple different reasons. We can rejoice because we know the end result. We know the end result of the trying of our faith leads us to a spiritual maturity. He says there, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Listen, as you go through the trials of this life, can I tell you, you can rejoice. You can rejoice when you're in the midst of the trial, because you know what God is doing through that trial. Listen, a trial is God at work in your life. God drawing you closer to Him. It's developing spiritual maturity. Think about this. Why do people get up early in the morning and go to a gym and suffer through a workout? Or why do they go late at night? Or why do they go on their lunch break and skip lunch to exercise? Or why do they put their body through some pain to help them exercise? There's only one reason. They're looking at the end result. You see, they can go through some suffering when they know what the end result brings: a healthy lifestyle, a healthy body. Why does a college student who wants to be a doctor, why do they go through years of classes and go through clinicals and pre-med and in med school, and then go through all this training and rack up all these student loans along the way? Why? Because they see some light at the end of the tunnel. They see a profession there. Can I tell you that oftentimes in this life, we'll endure a lot in this world for results that won't matter much in eternity? We'll put ourselves through some things. We'll discipline ourselves in a certain area for results that really don't matter that much in eternity. And yet sometimes we aren't willing to simply endure that which will carry much weight in eternity. The trials of this life. Can I tell you tonight that spiritually mature Christians live a certain way here on this earth that carries a tremendous eternal impact? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul would write to the Christians living in Corinth. And he would say this in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. By the way, isn't it interesting? When we're on the other side of the trials and we look back, they don't seem as major as they were in the midst of that trial. God does that. Because sometimes in the midst of the trial, all we can see is the trial. We can't see anything else. On the other side of that, we gain perspective. Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that trial that seemed incredible, and that trial that we seemed like we would never get on the other side of that, now looking back, it's a light affliction. Just lasted for a moment. But I love this. He says this, though, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, when we endure testings in this life and we endure them with our faith intact and we're looking to Jesus, God is working through these things. Can I tell you, Christian, how you live here impacts eternity? It doesn't impact where you go. Listen, we realize when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we know that we are headed to heaven. Nothing can ever take that away. But listen, it determines what you earn in heaven, the rewards that we earn. I believe that obviously there's got to be some type of a reward system that God has for heaven, the crowns and those kind of things. And so therefore, how we live here impacts eternity. We have to rejoice tonight that as we go through the trials, knowing the end result, that it brings spiritual maturity, and then we have to rejoice, and I love this thought, knowing that ultimately we are victorious. As we go through that difficulty, that we are victorious. Can I remind you of John in chapter 16 and verse 33 when Jesus says, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. He says, in this life, you're going to face tribulations. You're going to face difficulty as you go through this life. But you can rejoice even in the midst of that difficulty because you've already received victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. James would write this letter to these Christians. They're away from home. They're dealing with difficulty. Some of them are dealing with persecution. Some of them are dealing with problems that we'll look at later on that they just brought on by themselves. But I want you to understand something tonight. The difficulties of this world are powerless to steal my joy unless I allow them to. He says, you can rejoice even in the midst of suffering. As I'm preaching tonight, I think all of us are familiar with difficulties, trials. Some here tonight are in the midst of a major trial. Do you realize that God may not have ordained that trial? But God certainly allowed that trial in your life. He didn't allow it so that it might destroy you, so that it might effectively end your faith in Him, that you would lose faith and you would lose hope in Him. No, He allowed that to come into your life to strengthen that trial. I tell you the prayer request we must have in the midst of our trials. Lord, help me to endure this trial with my eyes on You. Help me to patiently endure through this trial. There may be some in tonight and you've just come through a trial. Maybe looking back, you say, I don't know that I endured that trial the way that God really would have had me endure it. You know, the truth is, there's some time to draw close to God and then be prepared for the next testing that comes in your life. Lord, would you help me to draw close to You? As I come upon a trial in the future, Lord, would you help me to endure that trial with my eyes on You? That cheerful endurance that the Bible talks about, the word there in the scriptures is just being patient, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, just that cheerful endurance as we go through this trial. And maybe there are some here tonight, the life is good right now, and praise the Lord for it. But somewhere in the future, there's a trial. There's a test that you're going to face. And listen, we must be prepared for that. And so tonight, the message is very simple. Trials produce spiritual maturity. The testing, it produces a spiritual maturity. So endure that trial. And endure that trial with joy, knowing that God is working in you and through you in that trial. And knowing that ultimate victory has already been won. The mature Christian is simply patient in testing. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. Practical Christianity, genuine Christianity, knowing we are going to be tested in this life, knowing that there are difficulties that are going to come. You may be in the midst of that difficulty right now. You may have just come through that difficulty. And God is calling you. And He's saying, listen, you must know some things. You're going to have to endure some trials. But if you'll endure them with your faith intact, God is doing a work through you. And God will strengthen your faith in that trial. Dear Lord, as we come before You tonight, we're thankful for who You are. Lord, we're thankful that You've given to us a perfect book, Your Word. Lord, that You have preserved for us, You've inspired it, You've preserved it for us, that helps us to know what we have to know as we live this Christian life. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us. Lord, all of us are in various stages in our Christian life, but we're all in various stages of testing. Some having just come through a trial, some in the midst of a trial, some headed for a trial here soon. But Lord, the principle remains the same. Lord, that You are working through those trials. And we can go through that just keeping our eyes on You. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to draw us to You. And Lord, that we would not make the choice to run from You in the midst of difficulty and in the midst of suffering. Lord, knowing that ultimately You're working through us. We love You and we thank You. In Your name I pray. Amen.